I love bread. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't have bread. I have toast every morning for breakfast. Every day for lunch, I have a turkey sandwich. Yes, my wife thinks that my eating habits are awfully boring. But you know, this really is a wonder. Bread has been a food staple of people and cultures throughout the centuries, for thousands of years. They say that people can live, can survive on nothing but bread and water for years. A few weeks ago, my wife sent me to the store to get a case of water because it's too heavy for her to handle. And while I was there, I picked up a loaf of bread. And I went and I checked out, and the checkout lady looked at me and said, just the bread and water? And I said, yeah, I'm on a diet. Bread really is, let's consider the importance of bread. When the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness and starvation seemed imminent, when they complained that they would have been better off staying in Egypt as slaves of Pharaoh, Moses called to God and God sent them manna, a very fine white flake-like substance that appeared in the morning like dew and then disappeared as soon as the sun warmed the earth. Manna, the bread from heaven, was a wonderful miracle for the ancient Israelites. It was a sign that God had not abandoned them, that God would provide for their most basic need. It gave them hope that their needs would be met each day. In his book entitled God's Psychiatry, author Charles Allen tells this story. As World War II was drawing to a close, the Allied armies gathered up hundreds of hungry orphan children. They were placed in camps where they were well fed. And despite excellent care, they slept poorly. They seemed nervous and afraid. Finally, a psychologist came up with a solution. Each child was given a piece of bread to take to bed with them. Not to eat, just to hold. The children went to bed instinctively knowing that they would have food the next day. And that guarantee gave those children a solid, wonderful, peaceful night's sleep. Well, let's talk about this wonderful story in John's Gospel. Jesus has fed 5,000 people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In response to the people asking for more miracles, Jesus tells them to believe in him in faith and not to look for signs and miracles. To which they answer and say, well, why should we believe in you? Where are your credentials? Yes, you have fed a crowd in some mysterious way, but what of it? Wonderful though that may be, it is not unique. Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Since you have done nothing more than Moses did, why should we leave him to follow you? Faced with that type of reasoning, Jesus replies, in the manna, Moses, or rather, God through Moses, did give your father something real and wonderful that helped and sustained them in their time of need and brought them safely through the wilderness. But that manna, though it was a gift from God, was not the bread that comes from heaven. What Moses gave you was not the bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven, and it is offering it to you in me. But you know what? The crowd doesn't get it. They don't really understand what Jesus is saying. They have this idea that it was Moses and not God who was responsible for the manna in the desert. And now the crowd is following Jesus, not because they want to hear more about the spiritual life that Jesus is offering, but because they think that they have found in him a never-ending supply of bread. The same thing happens in chapter 4 of John's Gospel when Jesus reveals himself to be living water to the woman at the well. She responds, "Great, that's wonderful. Give me this water so that I don't have to keep coming back to this well every day." They're thinking literally. The crowd in chapter 6 wanted literal bread to feed their physical hunger, and they wanted a political deliverer like Moses to satisfy their need for independence from Rome. Remember, after feeding the 5,000, Jesus is so popular, the crowd wants to take him by force and make him king, which is why he fled. They want what he can give them to satisfy their physical needs and their expectations. But we're not so different, are we? We're all about our physical needs. Like those little war orphans, we sleep better knowing we have money in the bank and food in the fridge. Money is our security blanket. But we also know that money can buy you a house, but not a home. Money can buy you an education, but not wisdom. Money can buy you influence, but not respect. It can buy your medicine, but not health. It can buy you a lot of things, but it can never give you lasting peace. "I am the bread of life," says Jesus. "I'm as necessary for life as the food you eat." Now you see, in Jesus' time, bread was the major part of the daily meal. Meat, if it was available at all, was a side dish. When Jesus says he is the bread of life, he's saying that he's the most important, the most essential part of your life. And bread had a lot of meaning in those times. Bread symbolized God's presence. Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Think about that for a minute. The bread of life born in the house of bread. The temple was continually filled with what was called showbread, or in Hebrew terms, face bread. In other words, this bread was a physical and constant reminder of the presence of God himself, and a reminder to the people that every time they ate bread, they should think of him. Interestingly, if a person should pick up a scrap of bread on the road, he would put it on a branch of a tree so that the birds could eat it. Bread had a sacred and mysterious attachment that people would not trample on it or simply throw it away. Bread was precious. And Jesus is this bread of life that enables us to meet life's demands. It gives us strength beyond our own and helps us overcome challenges and persevere through adversity. To really receive from Christ what he has to offer us, to really experience his saving power, we must feed on him, and there's no other word that really adequately expresses it. We must absorb his teaching. We must absorb his character, his mind, his ways, until his mind becomes our mind and his ways become our ways. Till we begin to think somewhat as he would think and do what only he can do through us. This is because his power has passed into us and become our power. And so we can say with Paul, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is saying something very powerful and dramatic. The Gospel of John contains 7 of what are called the I am sayings. Noted theologian R.C. Sproul points out that the Greek word translated I am normally uses one verb form. But in John's Gospel, when Jesus says I am, he does something very extraordinary. He takes 2 verbs and puts them together. While it may seem a bit redundant, the literal meaning of this is I am, or you could also say I, even I am. Now, this is significant because this is the precise way that Exodus chapter 3, verse 14 is translated in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. where Moses asks God what his name is, and God says, I am who I am. Now, even if you didn't quite get all of that, here's the bottom line. Every time Jesus uses one of those I am statements, one of those I am metaphors, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, he is emphatically stating that he is Yahweh, the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So these phrases are more than just a figure of speech. They are claims of deity that landed Jesus in trouble when he uttered them. After saying, I am the bread of life, many of his followers deserted him. After claiming, I am the light of the world, the Pharisees mocked him. When he stated, I am the good shepherd, the crowds denounced him. And after shouting, I am the resurrection and the life, the case against Jesus was clinched, and the chief priests began the process of plotting his execution. Jesus gave himself to humanity as the bread of heaven. He called himself the bread of life. But bread is meant to be eaten. I should go over and grab my piece of bread and take a bite out of that. And you're going to have a chance to have some Jesus bread yourselves in just a little while. It does us no good to have it sit on the shelf while we go hungry. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, the bread that nourishes us and makes new life possible. This is the bread of life, broken for you and me on a cross, a life given as the ultimate sacrifice of love. He is the living water so that we may never thirst. He is the bread of life that we may never hunger. He is the way, the truth, and the life so that we may live forever with him in the kingdom of God. May we receive him with open hearts and receive from him the gift of salvation and eternal life. Praise be to God. Amen.